Hi there, this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast. Today I'm continuing on with this Walking as Jesus section of this Salvation Road study. And today what I want to look at is Bible study. I mean, you could probably say this should be right up the front, but anyway, I've left it till now because I'm looking at walking as Jesus, and we need to learn as much of God's word as we can, and that can only come through Bible study to be able to get there. So the objective today is to introduce you to the need to study God's word and to understand from the word why it's important to understand and study to know God's word. So in overview, this session begins the Salvation Road process by introducing you to the need to study God's word. Too many Christians do not study the Bible, and so how can they learn the truth and find the way to walk in accordance with the will of God? A while ago, I found a statistic to the effect that of those people who call themselves Christians, 12% don't even open the Bible. And almost half of the Christians only open the Bible more than a few times a year. Now, that's a staggering statistic. And that's why this topic of Bible study is so important. If we are to find the fullness of all that God has to offer his people, if we are to become mature in Jesus Christ, as I spoke about last time, then it's important to learn and know what his will is. And his will is expressed only in the Bible. The Bible itself tells us of the importance to study God's word. So here, we'll first look at why it is so important. And so the scripture I want to look at is in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, which says this. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." Now, most people will recognise this as the Great Commission. Probably not the 12% who don't open their Bible, but most other Christians will recognise this as the Great Commission. And when Jesus gave the disciples what we call today the Great Commission, he told them to do three things. First, make disciples of all the nations. Second, baptise these new disciples. And third, teach them to observe all that Jesus had commanded. In relation to Bible study, it's this third point that we are interested in here. Jesus showed it was important that the new disciples should be taught everything he had taught the original disciples. Not some things, but all things. So it's equally important that those who are being taught, that is the new disciples, listen and learn. Remember, these were the last words, or nearly the last words, that Jesus spoke while he was on earth before he went back to the Father. They were his last instructions, and as such, you would expect these words would be important. So we must listen and learn from him. If it's his last words, he's not going to say something like, "Well, have a nice day." He's going to tell the disciples something that he wanted them to remember, something important. The next scripture is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their licentiousness, and because of them the way of truth will be reviled, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. From of old their condemnation has not been idle, and their destruction has not been asleep." Here we see why it's important that we learn the truth. Peter tells us, as did Jesus and the other apostles, that there will be false teachers bringing in destructive teachings designed to bring God's people into bondage and worse. They will exploit the people of God through greed and teach many perverse things that have no basis in the scriptures, and they'll lead many people astray. These men are antichrists because they deny Jesus his place at the head of the church and set themselves up as heads of churches. The only way you or I can ensure that we're not caught in their traps is to know the truth for ourselves. And that means we need to study God's word and learn the truth for ourselves. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 15 and 16, we see this. "The serpent," now the serpent is the devil, "the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman is the church, to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river which the dragon had poured from his mouth." What's the source of all of these false teachings? They come from the devil himself. This verse in Revelation shows the serpent or the dragon, who is Satan himself, pouring out a flood from his mouth to try and drown the woman, who is the true church. The flood from Satan's mouth is a flood of false teachings, lies, half-truths that may sound feasible and have the appearance of truth, but are not. They're designed to entrap the true believers and turn them away from the freedom in Jesus Christ and into bondage under Satan's power. Again, to overcome this flood of false teaching, we must know the truth ourselves so we can stand against the flood. We must be founded on the rock of Jesus Christ so that we're not washed away by this flood of lies. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, we read this. But I'm afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you submit to it readily enough. And this is how the devil works. Not through blatant and obvious actions, but by cunning and subtlety to lead astray your thoughts from a sincere and pure devotion to truth in Christ Jesus. There are indeed many gospels taught in the broad church today. Not all of them are correct, and many are very, very flawed. The one thing that can be said is that they all speak about Christ Jesus, and so a person can come to know him, but then the quality of what is taught may be suspect. If you want the real truth, the truth that Jesus taught and the true gospel of salvation, then you must study and learn it yourself. You must seek out the fullness of the truth so that you do not readily accept a false gospel and then suffer under it. In Romans 10, verses 16 and 17, we see this. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. The disciples once asked Jesus, saying, increase our faith. That's in Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Jesus went on to teach them that you don't need a lot of faith to move mountains. But where does faith come from? Paul shows us where in the scripture. Faith comes from hearing the words of God and the preaching of Christ. That is, faith increases as knowledge increases. If you want to strengthen your faith, then the way to do it is to learn more. This makes sense because when we know something to be true, we believe it. We don't have any trouble believing it. Our faith is strong. When we have experienced what we know, then our faith in that thing becomes unshakable and immovable. We become stronger in our faith and stronger in our Christian walk. And then when the storms of life try to overcome us, we can stand because our faith is very, very strong. In Hebrews chapter 5, and I'm looking at verses 11 to 14. It says this. About this we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's word. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. Here we see an example of where some people had stopped listening and learning. Their knowledge was weak because they had become dull of hearing. The writer of Hebrews tells them that they should have been teachers of the gospel, able to help others learn, but they had not listened and they had not grown beyond being babes in Christ. They still needed to learn the fullness of the truth. He shows that it's important to learn the fullness so that we're able to stand strong in our faith. And this learning comes by applying the teachings of Christ so that we can distinguish good from evil. And in the context of teachings, we can distinguish truth from false teaching. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 8 says this. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 booths here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. This is the Transfiguration, and in this we see some fascinating insights as to what we should study. We see Jesus transfigured on the mountain, speaking with Elijah and Moses. Elijah represents the prophets, and Moses represents the law. Peter offered to make three booths for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and by so doing, he made all three of them equal. But then God the Father stepped in to set Peter straight, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The Father did not instruct them to listen to the law and prophets, but to listen to Jesus. It's the words of Jesus that will bring us to life. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. And it was the sacrifice that Jesus made for us that sets us free from sin and the law. God was making certain we listened to the one who would lead us to his kingdom. And we see that when the disciples stood up, they found Jesus alone with them. The others had disappeared. And this is what we need to learn also. We need to learn to listen to Jesus. That's not to say there's no wisdom in the other things, but we are to listen to Christ because it's in him that we have salvation. It's only in him that we will have life because, as Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life," and there is only life in him. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 12, we find this. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'Perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you.'" The parable of these 10 virgins or these 10 maidens shows us the need to be prepared. 5 of these in the parable were prepared because they took oil to keep their lights burning, but the other 5 were unprepared and their lights were going out. We too need to ensure we are prepared and we have the good oil of the knowledge of Jesus Christ so that we are ready and waiting for him when he comes. If we take this parable as an example, it appears that 50% of those who come to Jesus will be so ill-prepared that they'll miss out and be rejected. We see that when the foolish virgins tried to access the feast later, they were rejected because the Lord said, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." So be prepared. Get the oil of his word and be immersed in it so that when he returns, you are not rejected with those who are not prepared. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, we read this. Jesus then said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Finally, we see here that it is for freedom and for our faith that we must learn and study his word. It is the truth that will make us free. There is much that is not truth in what is taught in Christendom and in the churches today, and there is much that is false but is accepted as being truth. So here is a call to action and also a test of what is true and what is false. Is what you are being taught making you free, or is it bringing you into bondage? If it's the latter, if it's bondage, then there's a good chance it's not a teaching of the truth, because Jesus said, "You will know the truth and the truth will make you free." It won't bind you up, it'll make you free. Jesus said the truth will make you free, and in him there is freedom. Where there is freedom, there is truth. But where there is bondage, there is no truth. To find the truth, you must study God's word. There is no other way. You can't rely on others to do it for you, because when you stand before the judgment seat of God, and we all will, we'll all stand alone and be judged based on what we did or did not do and believe. So it's important that we listen to Christ and learn the truth, because it is the truth that will make us free, not some lie. So, a couple of questions to think about. Consider what you believe or have learned. Do these teachings offer freedom, or are they bringing you into bondage? Secondly, do you think it's possible to reach God's kingdom without being prepared knowing his ways? Third, do you think it's possible to stand against the devil when you don't know right from wrong? And fourth, if salvation comes only through Jesus Christ, does it make sense to listen to anyone else to find his salvation? Call to action. Consider these scriptures that we've gone through today and read them for yourself in your own Bible. Now is the time to determine that you need to study, so make a point to establish a time and place where you can spend time reading and studying God's word. It's time now to begin to question whether what you hear and believe is of the truth or not. And if you're in doubt, ask. Pray and ask the Lord to show you answers to your questions and seek his truth. Ask others that you trust, but don't just take their word. Get them to back it up with scripture. The same goes for me too. If you doubt anything that you read in my website, that you hear on these podcasts, that you read in any of my books or articles, if there's anything that you doubt, by all means, feel free to ask me. And my email address is john@freegiftfromgod.com. Prayer points. Spend a moment in prayer now to reflect on the need to study and learn the ways of salvation. It's by study that we can begin to see the will of God and know the path he wants us to follow. That's it for this session. So until next time, this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast signing off, wishing you a great week, and may the Lord be with you throughout the week, and I'll catch you in a week's time, hopefully. God bless.